Hello everyone. Today we'll talk about an interesting topic, and it's about IT outsourcing. So we'll understand what IT outsourcing is all about. Why do you need to outsource things to different companies? What does it impact a company who outsources, say for example, its software development to another software vendors? Why do you need outsourcing in the first place? What is the difference between outsourcing and offshoring? How outsourcing came into picture in India, what is the impact that has caused. We'll then look upon a few of the operational models in outsourcing, how do they differentiate between each other. And lastly, we'll also talk about the advantages that outsourcing contracts would get, what are the new trends in the outsourcing industry, and which are the pricing models that the outsourcing contracts are based on. So let us look at IT outsourcing as a concept. So in India, outsourcing is generally confused with offshoring. So whenever you talk about the term outsourcing, so it means that any software work from US or UK that is getting offshored to India is outsourcing. So that's a simple definition that everyone thinks, right? So everyone thinks that outsourcing is just offshoring of work from US and UK. So but that's not about it. So it was already confused. I mean, there was a state where, you know, people tend to get confused between outsourcing and IT offshoring, as I mentioned. So Gartner defines IT outsourcing as, so IT outsourcing is the use of external service providers to effectively deliver IT-enabled business process applications and services and the infrastructure solutions for business outsourcing. Right, so that is how Gartner defines. So it says, and two or three key points here which needs to be emphasized. So use of external service providers, so that is point number one, and I'll take you through the difference between outsourcing and offshoring. But then just remember it for now that it is for external service providers are involved when you talk about outsourcing. And it also talks about effectively deliver IT-enabled services, IT-enabled solutions, infrastructures for business effectiveness. So it talks about efficiency, it talks about external service provider. So that's what outsourcing is all about. Outsourcing, which also includes utility service, software as a service, it could include cloud-enabled services which could be outsourced. So anything or any services that are outsourced, it helps the clients to develop the right sourcing. It could be software, it could be cloud strategies, it could be the SCM functions, it could be the HR functions, right? So as to develop the right sourcing strategy and vision, selectively select the right set of providers and structure the best possible contracts between the outsourced parties and the customers so as to have a win-win relationship. Now, outsourcing can enable enterprises to reduce cost. Now, cost reduction is one of the major factors that drive outsourcing. It accelerates time to market so that companies can concentrate on their core business and outsource the non-critical jobs and take advantage of external expertise, assets, or any intellectual property. So, take an example. If a company is, say, good at doing payroll management, okay? Now, as an enterprise who's into manufacturing, the manufacturing company might have to spin up or get more people on board to develop this payroll function as such. But what if it is outsourced to a vendor who can manage the entire payroll data for them? So that is outsourcing. So it says that companies could do it to have the external expertise, or there could be an intellectual property. So say for example, if there is some patent, some technology patent which lies with one company, then the enterprise could leverage upon that vendor's expertise and intellectual property to bring up its or probably integrate that in their product line. So difference between outsourcing and offshoring. So first, outsourcing is the assignment of business peripheral operations to the external organization. So here the external organization is very important. So it talks about third party agencies, it could talk about a different company altogether. Whereas offshoring means relocation of the business processes in the same company, but it could be in a different country, or it could be in the same country. But then generally when we talk about offshoring, it means the same company but in a different country. Now, shifting operations to a different country might involve a lot of things. So it could reduce the labor costs. So say for example, if a software company, say for example TCS has picked up some important IT project for the US government, for which basis the government regulations it is bound to have people, or it should have a delivery center which is based in USA. But then what it could do is it can have an offshore arm in India, right? And this offshore arm will be able to, you know, do all the product development, write the codes and stuff like that. So it's still a offshore shoot of the same company, but then in a different country, so as to have reduced labor cost, reduced cost of owning up the entire property, reduced cost of the overall expenditure, right? So that is what offshoring is all about. What it implies? So it implies outsourcing implies shifting operations to a third party, as I mentioned. And in case of offshoring, it is just shifting of some key activities, or it could be new offices altogether, as I mentioned. Now, in case of outsourcing, the main objective behind doing a outsourcing contract is to focus on the core business activities. So I took the example of manufacturing company, right? So getting a payroll processed, it's a non-core activity from them. They would rather focus on R&D, they would focus on the machine line, they would focus on logistics for that matter. So any non-critical activity could be outsourced. So that is the logic behind outsourcing. And offshoring, as I said, it's primarily to reduce the labor cost. One more important reason for offshoring is to maintain the government regulations that you need to have an offshore office close to the client. But then you actually offshore the key operations or key activities just to reduce the labor cost. Now, a key point here is when we talk about outsourcing, it is said that to focus on key business activities or the core activities, some of the other activities are outsourced. Now, this is a little modified in case of today's terminology. So when we talk about IT outsourcing, many times what happens is there are certain core set of modules or core set of functionalities which are very much critical to the business, and it's the core line of business, but then they're still outsourced. Now, outsourced to other companies because they have the developed skills in that particular functionality. They have the required skill set, the required manpower, and more importantly, they have the overall technological know-how to actually build a proposition like that. So if we say, say for example, companies like TCS, Infosys, Wipro, HCL, right? So these companies have the technological know-how because of which their clients based in US, UK, anywhere, they actually outsource contracts to them. Function is generally performed in case of outsourcing by the non-employees. So these employees could be either on the roles of the third party companies, or it could be freelance employees. But in case of offshore, they are still the employees of the company. So they're still on the payroll of the company which offshoots or offshores the contracts to. In case of outsourcing, it could be within or outside the country. And offshoring is generally outside the country. So a typical example, like, so say for example, if a company like TCS has picked up a order or a contract to develop process automation for Boeing, right? So what they will do is they will have an office which is close to where Boeing headquarters is located, and they will have an offshore arm of that in India probably, because that's where they'll get economies of scale, they'll get cheap skilled people. I'm not talking about labor, because you know IT is skilled resources, so it's not labor anymore. So yes, it's skilled labor you can say, but then it's not labor as such, right? So hope you've got a gist between outsourcing and offshoring. So key points to remember is outsourcing, it is given to third party organizations, third party companies. Offshoring is within the same company. The people who are involved in outsourcing are the third party employees who are on the roles of the third party or the suppliers, In case of offshoring, they are the same employees which are on the payroll of the company. So let us quickly look at the pros and cons of each, right? So if we have to talk about offshoring, so it obviously reduces the risk of data leak, because your data is restricted to the same company, same organization. You have reduced labor cost. We took an example of Boeing, where offices offshoot of the main premise, so as to have reduced cost of labor, and it enhances business efficiency. Now, why is this so? I took a case of having the technical expertise, right? So say for example, if the India operations of TCS has the required technical skill sets, they have the desired manpower in place, so it leads to better business efficiency. The cons to offshoring are, first, they result into a lot of conflicts. So many a times, if anyone has been into software development, you will see a lot of ongoing tussle between the offshore teams and the on-site teams. It always goes on. So on-site teams might want something, the offshore teams would be able to, you know, deliver something else. There's a lot of communication mismatch or gaps in what is actually being required and what is actually being developed and delivered. So there are a lot of communication gaps as well. And there could be mismanagement of projects. So because an important part of the functionality is given to the offshore arm, there's a lot of coordination required between the on-site and the offshore teams, right? So it could involve mismanagement of the projects. But then if you have a robust mechanism in place to track the project deliverables, a very good project plan, good set of people's handling the entire project, then these are basically teething issues which can always be sorted out. If we have to look at outsourcing, so first we look at the pros. So yes, the important point here is again to reduce the labor cost, because the company would not be willing to pay a lot of people cost. So again, the manufacturing example, you will have to develop an in-house team for the payroll application as such. But if it is outsourced to a company who has the technical skill sets, then you reduce the labor cost. Again, here it enhances the business efficiency, but with a different connotation, because now the business can focus more on its core activities. And if the non-core or the non-critical activities or the non-business focused activities are outsourced to a third party company, that means the company is free to innovate, the company is free to concentrate on its core business activities and come up with new innovative products. And the another important point is the extended resources, right? So again, with a third party coming in, it could be a skilled company, so that's where the technical know-how could be exchanged. So the skilled resources that the company brings in, it adds a lot of value in making the entire product. So be it a software product where the required technical skill set could be utilized to make the application as such. The cons include the risk of quality control, right? So because it is given to a third party, so a lot of quality audits, a lot of quality assurance have to be in place, because you cannot just look at any product that is being delivered by a third party, right? So there has to be very stringent quality controls in place. Then there is a risk of data breach. Now, this is a very key point. So whenever a contract is outsourced, many a times it is said that data also obviously has to be given for the company to develop the application as such. But then there is an inherent risk of a data breach. So what really happens is, in big companies, and I've worked for TCS, and that is how I can tell you this, when we had a project for British Telecom, when we had a project for Boeing, there was a separate section that was created where employees could sit, a separate system where the access was only limited to certain set of resources, no open internet allowed, all the pen drives and everything blocked, so as to minimize the kind of data breach. right? Because this is a very secure zone as such. Even for the client, this could mean a lot of confidential information. It could be in terms of developing a database of for their customers. It could mean some of the business critical trademarks and patents. So this information cannot be leaked out anywhere. So there is an inherent amount of data risk. And even here, there is a miscommunication issue. So between the outsourcing company, so say for example, if Boeing has outsourced a particular functionality to TCS, there still has to be a team within Boeing who can actually monitor the work that TCS has done for them. So say if the client has briefed them about X functionality, but then the product that is developed is not able to give the desired input, then it's of no use, right? So there are still a lot of communication issues, but then as I said, these issues can still be sorted out. So the key point here to remember is that in case of an outsourcing contract, there is a lot of focus on data prevention, so that data leak prevention, and a lot of focus on quality controls, because these are developed by typically a third party company. So the third party company would have their own set of procedures. They'll have their own certifications in place, but then these things are very important when we talk about an outsourcing contract. So let us look at a typical organization and what are the things they would like to do in-house. So say if there is an organization and it will have basically two set of processes. One is the core processes. So the core processes, they will like to keep it in-house, as I mentioned. So this would lead them to better operational excellence, better financial efficiency, better organization responsiveness, branding and customer relationships. So these are some of the advantages that the company would have if it has its these functions as a in-house function. And the non-core processes, so say for example something like a data processing, something like a customer contact center, something like a administrative operations. So these functions tend to be a little back-end kind of functions by the nature of the role that they play. So those could be outsourced. So doing that, what it helps is it helps increase the market strength. It helps to reduce the cost. We spoke about that, and increases the overall technology know-how. So because these things, so say for example the contact centers, right? And there is a big case for contact centers getting outsourced to India. So if the contact centers are outsourced to India, that means a lot of technical know-how is then transferred to the company who is handling that contact center, correct? So those companies would get the relevant knowledge in place, they will have the relevant technology in place, and because they are stalwarts in their own field, the end company basically derives the benefit of improved service levels, improved technology in their own functions. So there was recently, if you would have seen, the number of contracts that India gets in terms of getting the BPOs in place has now slowly reduced. Now, why is this so? Because probably what 15 or 20 years back, the BPO industry in India was really booming. Now, why was this? Because all the key activities for the companies which are based in US and UK predominantly, they outsourced their contact centers to India. Now, contact center is basically a place where the people would provide, say, all kind of resolutions. Say if it's a technical contact center, then the skilled people or the contact center agents would provide resolution on their technical issues. If it's a contact center which is meant for handling a financial transaction, then they will handle all the customer complaints, customer queries and stuff like that. So the BPO industry was basically born out of outsourcing, correct? And India was having a lot of presence and companies were, the companies based off US, UK, they were getting a lot of cost benefits because the contact center's infrastructure in India was cheap. And second is India was able to get that skilled labor because India had a lot of educated people and which could be trained easily. So India was able to provide that cost benefit onto the parent companies because these people could be easily trained. They could be trained on the different languages, accents. So it's very important, right? In a BPO industry, say for example, when a client is calling from US, then he expects the contact center agent also to speak in their particular accent, correct? So that's where the economies of scale lie. So from an organization perspective who's based in US and outsourcing the entire contact center to India, it brought a lot of cost advantages. Now slowly what is happening is a lot of these contact centers are getting migrated to Philippines. Now this is out of the real life thing that is happening right now. So earlier, as I said, before 15 years, India was doing really well, but now these contact centers are slowly moving to Philippines. Now again, they're moving to Philippines because of the same reason. They have the skill set in place and the cost of opening a contact center over there is really less as compared to India. So that is where the outsourcing contacts are, you know, slowly moving away from India and moving to Philippines. So let us now look at the history of outsourcing. So hope you have understood what the difference between outsourcing and offshoring contract is. Why do organizations get involved in an outsourcing contract versus a offshoring contract? So let us look at how outsourcing really came into picture. So in the 80s, the earliest days of IT outsourcing, it started with the huge giants in America, like the likes of IBM, Anderson Consulting. So they dominated the entire outsourcing industry. The outsourcing application maintenance and development projects was also running the mainframe data center. So they said that it's better to, you know, outsource the non-core piece to these companies. Those outsourcers gained from the economies of scale, as I mentioned, so much so that they could open huge data centers and have people in common who could serve the machines of multiple customers and technologies. So it's again, so say if you have to take an example of a data center, right? Now a data center for one particular customer, it could mean a lot of investment. But suppose if it is outsourced to say IBM, who handles the entire data center for a number of customers, then it could bring in the economies of scale because the purchasing power increases because it has to buy a lot of servers in bulk. It would have a lot of space which could cater to a lot of customers. So it will bring in the economies of scale for IBM, and this particular cost advantage could be passed on to the end customers. Accenture, EDS and IBM are still here to take the huge chunks of IT operations. But now what has happened is with the emergence of web, these companies, although they are expensive in nature, but then because this information now is very easily available through the web, so as to, you know, ease out the way in which things were outsourced in the beginning. So when outsourcing started, they had to ship things in a physical CD or a tape and stuff like that. But now with the web, if you could have a direct link, which is a secure link between the offshore and the on-site arm, the outsourcing of these particular contracts could be easy. The sending of the data through that secure medium is really easy. But whatever companies decided to outsource, they usually kept it away from the core competency, as I mentioned. So the logic behind the outsourcing contract is you retain your core competencies and give the non-core activities to the other companies for them to fulfill. So let us look at the Indian outsourcing industry as such. So India has been outsourcing software work from overseas, mainly the US, from the 70s and the 80s, as I mentioned. The outsourcing model was small projects or part of the projects done entirely offline in India and shipped to the customers in tapes or CDs, as I said, mainly the middle life cycle, that is coding and unit testing. So application development and the coding that goes behind developing that application. So Indians were really good at it. Right, so you could understand the logic very quickly, convert that logic into a programming language, and using that programming language develop the code for that application. So Indians inherently are really good at it. So that is why India ranked number one when it talked about outsourcing contracts. And this, believe me, was a threat to US as well, because what happens is if all these contracts keep coming to India, then the local talent or the local resources in USA might feel threatened because their jobs are at stake, correct? So before that, the medium to actually transfer the data was the tapes and CDs, as it is mentioned. And this was prior to the lease line communication that I mentioned. So now what has slowly happened is with the emerging network technologies, the emerging IT infrastructure, the enterprise IT solutions coming into place, the tapes and the CDs, they've now given way to a more secure communication, which could be in the form of MPLS. So when we talk about a global MPLS, it could be termed as a IP VPN, which is nothing but a global MPLS. So you have a cloud of a particular service provider, and through this particular cloud, there is a secure channel, a private communication channel that is established between, say, the USA and the India outsourcing company, right? So no longer the data needs to be shipped in CDs and tapes and stuff like that, but you can have a real-time information exchange. As it is mentioned, it is not possible to know when the outsourcing industry was exactly born, but then we can relate this to the early 70s and the 80s, where you saw a lot of action from US and UK happening. However, there were five significant events in the Indian histories in the 80s and 90s. The first couple of years in the century ensured that the Indian IT industry leaps to undisputed leader, as I mentioned. And during the 2000 era, which was the dot-com era, many multinational companies gave their non-critical or non-core activities to Indian companies. So the companies who did not divulge in a culture like this, who did not outsource contracts, their stocks were really affected. So they were, because they could not actually maintain those cost efficiencies in place, and they had a lot of cost overheads maintaining these say non-core or non-business critical activities. So a lot of impacts were seen on their profit line. So as I mentioned, say companies like General Electric or companies like Boeing, right? So if there is any issue with, say, a General Electric insurance, then getting the contact center agent to help them solve the problem is basically a non-business critical activity for them. So it's more of a back-end job, right? So once a contract is sold to the end customer, to service that contract, you just need a person to handle the customer query. So for GE Electric, such a activity is non-core. So that is the reason why they thought that it's better to outsource and get those cost benefits in place. So the next major event that boosted the IT industry growth was the General Electric's investment in the Indian outsourcing company and the commitment of Jack Welch to the government of India, which it said that, so Jack Welch had made a promise to the Indian government saying that in return of the General Electric's aircraft engines, so India was supposed to buy the aircraft engines from GE, and in return, so it was again a kind of a barter between GE and the Indian government, which said that so for the aircraft engines that GE sold, the GE would then outsource its software development to the Indian IT companies. So Indian companies would then basically gain out of that, and GE would also be benefited by the cost benefits. So this particular arrangement was facilitated by Sam Pitroda. This resulted in GE outsourcing substantial software work to thousands of Indian companies, some of which were TCS, obviously, because TCS had a very big GE project which I was a part of. The success of the offshore experiment, GE took a forward step and said that from a dedicated office on site, it had a dedicated offshore development center, or it's called as an ODC right now. So the concept of an ODC came into picture in the 1995s. So the GE ODC was very famous. So if you have your friends who were working in TCS in, say, for example, 2005 to 2010 types, then you would hear from them. Many of them were in a GE project before the GE project then moved out of TCS to other companies. But then TCS was, yes, one of the companies where GE had outsourced this contract to. Immediately following the happy turn of the century came the dot-com, as I mentioned. Again, the agile Indian programmer overnight absorbed the intricacies of web technologies to fuel the dot-com boom. The Indian programmer had come to stay. So this was a very powerful statement that India had made, because Indian people were very skilled at doing new things, adopting newer ways of learning, getting that learning into the real life scenario. So India had made a statement that any technological advancement in the field of software development, India was a leader.